Blog Talk Radio.
You are now sitting live again with the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elogun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation. It is my reiteration, and it is my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my inner standing, my teaching, my walk, my work, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. All is a blessing indeed is the very foundation of where I begin, where I crystallize and realize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Friday, May 14th, 2021, and I am emanating and vibrating with you now live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, Hoodoo Central, LLC, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this Hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of the life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. And indeed, as our beloved Denise Augustine would say, our sacred stories. I'm always grateful and humble and, of course, honored to be in this place, in this shared sacred space with you each and every weekday, but most likely Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here in New Orleans, Louisiana. And, of course, whatever time it might be from wherever you're listening in the world. For my special guests and for my new listeners, indeed, this is an international program. We are listened to and in some cases viewed from all over the world. So I'm always humbled and honored and appreciative by the ancestors and the Most High to give me charge and responsibility to share and bring light and love and truth and healing to you each and every day at high noon. And of course, I'm always grateful for my very special co-host. First, my cousin, Oloye Ifawole, Oladeji Ifatunde. Welcome, beloved, for being here with us again. I want you to introduce yourself as you always do. Give us a message, and then I'll have you introduce our very special guest to the show.
Sure. Well, again, I always greet you all. Alafia. But she said, blessings to each and every one of you. I give honor today as we open up the show. So we'll open up the show today with a prayer to Eshu so that he'll clear the ways for us, open up our good doors, roads, and paths. So, Iba Shiba Eshu. Eshu, Eshu, and Nana. Eshu, and Nana, the Giddy Yoki. According to the Ita, as a Langa Langa Lado, and a Langa Langa Lado. O dei bi jade mole, jade ni tal bara ene efe, to fi bono yo, o rosho, to 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 kone, asa ere relale. E shimusemi yo, o moro no mena mi kolo se, pa adoro subida, nero dore soli siwa. Ashe. But we ask that you please open up all of our good doors, roads, and paths, and all the good doors, roads, and paths of those who we love, and close the doors, roads, and paths of those who will seek the harness, or those who we love. Ashe. So we have a special guest today, as she is a wonderful, wonderful person and a practitioner of many different alternative methods of healing, from massage therapy to dealing with people with diet. She also coaching, you know, helping people on a coaching level. And there's many other things that I'm going to have her to share with you as well today. And so it is a honor to introduce her to some and present to others. Queen Abenu, she is from Texas. She's in Texas at this time by Dallas. And so today she's going to share with us aspects of alternative healing, aspects of our healing inside and out, aspects of eating to live, not living to eat, and as well different ways that we can heal our bodies with food, with all kinds of other things that she does. So I'm grateful to have her here with us today and grateful that she has chosen to come and be part of the show. So, Queen, blessings to you.
Yes.
Gratitude. It's a pleasure being here. Yes, thanks for having me. To those of you, let me pronounce, because you can say however it is you pronounce it, it's great. So greetings everyone. Queen Abenas Wellness. It's a pleasure being here today. Thank you so much for having me. I see that this is actually very inspired already just being here, so I feel very honored for you to have asked me to have come on this show today.
We're definitely honored to have you here. I must say, other than my mother, of course, Queen Abenas is probably one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen in my life.
I received that.
Just radiant that. And just bright and just full of all of that good Iyami energy, that goddess energy. And I'm honored to have you be here and to share my platform with your information. Please feel free to talk at leisure. Don't worry about the time other than when you have to go. But speak at leisure. We're going to get our audience to participate and ask questions. We might even have some phone calls come in during the show. But please share what spirit and ancestors would have you to bring for us today.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. I receive that. That's gratitude.
So, please, tell them a little bit about you, like your history and what you shared with me about, you know, the things that helped you to get to where you are today.
So that would be my pleasure. So I've been working in this industry now for over 20 years. And during the course of this time, one of the things that I really want to help people to understand is that in our lives, most of us, each and every one of us, we are here, each and every one of you are here on purpose. I want you to receive this right from the door. I don't care where you are walking on this parallel, whatever dimension you're walking on, I want you to know it is on purpose. So the thing is, very often people were born in under traumatic situations, or they were born, you know, in a household, a single parent, and you thought, you know, under whatever extenuating circumstances, somebody may have been raped, you know, molested, whatever, or you were raised in a traditional household with two parents. Whatever the case may be, is you are here now, and know this, you being here now is on purpose. So we go through different trials and tribulations during the course of our life. With me, I moved here to Dallas, Texas, because it wasn't just a move, but it was a calling. I was called to come here because right now I'm the founder of, it's called the Global Holistic Movement. With the Global Holistic Movement, I realized the creator is just a download. Each and every one of us get a download every single day. But it all depends upon where you are in your life, where you are and how you, your perception on life. When you receive that download, are you open? Are you ready to receive that download? Because where our creator is telling you, listen, I want you to pick up everything that you are comfortable with in your life. I had a chain of sorrow in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had raised my two sons, and I had a chain of falls. And I moved from that, from all three falls, consolidated into one. And I had already built my lesson, my plan of action of, okay, I now have my main fall. People can come to my sanctuary. I don't think of it just as a spa, but a sanctuary where people can come to for healing, therapeutic massages, facials, detox treatments, nutritional counseling, life and wellness coaching. You come, and I had events and activities 2 to 3 days out of the month, and, you know, a juice bar, the infrared sauna, everything was comfortable. I built that with the help of our creator and my ancestors. All of that was built, and I was comfortable. And all of a sudden, the creator, this download came and said, oh, no, you need to pick up right now and move to Dallas, Texas. I need you there. So whatever it is that I had, I gave a lot of things away, and I donated a lot of things. I sold some things, but I think I gave more than that. I had a big, beautiful home, comfortable. I had a beautiful car, comfortable. I had a client base, comfortable. But guess what? I was told to get up and move. So those of you that are out there, that you're being told to move, you need to be obedient. So in being obedient, you secret. I picked up, moved here to Dallas, Texas, not knowing anybody. Let me say this, not knowing anybody. But I guarantee you, when that is in your calling and you are meant to move, you are going to get up and move. And I guarantee you, and as you move over, guess what? That path is already paid for you. It's just a matter of you being obedient. And that's exactly what I was, is being obedient. So from the day, the first week that I moved in, I had 6 clients. I went to the gym, started working out. People met me, realized what I had, and I was doing, from day one, mobile spa services. A perfect so-called stranger. Guess what? None of us are strangers. We are all, if we come together and unify the way we should, we are brothers and sisters. We have the same creator.
Yeah.
So during the course of this time, from day one, I've had client dates. I've had food on the table. I've had a roof over my head. Our creator has provided for me. And then the test came 2 years after being here, just 2 years, not knowing anybody. 2 years after being here, everything that I brought here, the few things I did bring here, Queen's favorite thing, my apartment burned. My townhouse that I lived in, that I had made comfortable after 2 years, burned. I thought everything was gone, but guess what? Sometimes you have to lose everything in order to gain everything. Because you know what? I didn't lose everything. I still had my mind. I still have my gifts. Our creator gave us all gifts and talents. I still had that. Each and every one of us has a gift. You have a challenge. You are skilled. It's about cultivating that. Sometimes we need somebody to bring that out in you. This is what I do as a life and wellness coach. It's not enough about telling you a good nutrition plan. You got to start with that mind. You got to start in your mind, working on that mind. Discipline and being obedient, you can move forward in your life. All things, the sky is the limit. It's what you say. It's what your perspective is on life. Today, if you don't hear anything else I said about my story, if you don't hear anything else, let me tell you something. You need to definitely be disciplined and be obedient to spirit. Shut all that outside noise out. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise. People constantly talking in your ear. They don't know you. They didn't create you. You know. You know you. Don't ask somebody else to love you if you don't love yourself. That's what it's all about. Taking that time out to find out your purpose and your calling. We all, you have a calling on you. I don't care what place you are in your life right now. You have a calling that is on you. And it's a matter of you being obedient so that you can walk in that calling. And I'm going to tell you, the riches are there. We think riches are in monetary. That's what we've been that's what we've been conditioned to think, is that, okay, how much money do I have in the bank? What kind of car do I drive? How big is my house? That's not riches. That's not wealth. Your wealth is in your health. That's for your wealth. Your wealth is in your health. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Realize that. We've got to start reconditioning our mind to understanding and value our temple. This body we have here is a temple. And if you start speaking that to yourself, this is my temple. Anything before you put it in your mouth, the people that you have that are surrounding you, that is what is important, is knowing and understanding. Wait a minute. How do I feel when I'm there in the presence of these people? How do I feel? Do they make me feel free? How do they make me feel? Do they make me feel happy? Do they make me feel bad? Are they drawing my ears? All of this is a part of what we need to mess it up. If you're not realizing that that is your food too, the people that you have around you, you surround yourself with, the music you have, it's pouring into your body and into your system, all of this is a makeup of you. So let me finish my story. My story is going to be ongoing. In this journey and in this life, did I drop one tear or any tears during the course of me, everything burning down? No. I just kept it moving. Okay. I guess you need me to move out of the way. And let me tell you something. As that platform was set for me, I continued to walk in. I never dropped a tear one day. The things that I had were brought here. They were brought here to Texas. And they were supposed to be brought here. That's the reason why the Creator wiped that right on away in a car accident. Within months, all of these happened consecutively within months. Let me tell you something. These challenges that you have, challenges are coming daily, weekly, monthly. And are you prepared for this shift? Because just like when you, from the time you start, think about it, in elementary school, when you went to middle school and high school, guess what? Every time you received training, there was a test, right? Each and every one of us got a test. Well, your test is every single day. When you're waking up, it's a test. Are you going to wake up first? What are you going to do when you wake up? Are you going to give gratitude to our Creator and to your ancestors? It's a test. You know, now, once you did that, now, are you going to wake up and what can you do instead of this being about you? It's not about you. It's about others. Now, what you could do with your gift and your talent to give to others. That's what it's all about. Yes. That's why you have your gift. That's why you have your talent. So during the course of this whole journey, whether I had the fire, the car accident, that was supposed to take me out of here, but guess what? No medication. I'm able to walk and talk. I'm not paralyzed. You know, I had bulging discs in my neck and dislocated my back. Guess what? I'm still walking and talking, and I can pour into you today. I can be a witness to you today. Hopefully my story is bringing some impact to you. I'm hoping that it is. I'd love to get some feedback. Can I get a woo-woo? But, you know, the thing I'm saying is, listen, I just hope that each and every one of you realize that you do have value and that you are loved and your love starts at home from the inside out. So let's start exercising that on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Let's start looking at what we're eating. Let's start looking at who we have around us. Let's start looking at how we are thinking about ourselves and what we're putting out in the universe. All of this is important. Each and every piece of this is important. And no matter what happens during the course of your life, learn how to embrace it and walk in it. And then this is the question I want you to ask yourself. When something happens that you are uncomfortable with, ask yourself this question. What is it that our Creator is trying to tell me, people? What are you trying to tell me? Because, you know, I'm not, just ask the question, and I guarantee you, wait on that answer. Just wait on it, because it's coming. That's for real. That's real.
I say. I resonate with everything that you had to say. And I want to be mindful that, you know, it's not just what's out here, but it's what we're taking in. And sometimes we overfocus on just one aspect of what we're taking in. Oh, well, I don't, you know, listen to certain kind of music, but I eat whatever I want. You know, oh, I'm a strict vegetarian, but you're taking men and partners and women into your body, you know, that might not be helpful for you, might not be healthy for you, may not add to your overall sense of wellness and stability. So I resonate absolutely with your story. Many of my audience knows I was a 14-year-old runaway, you know, on the street. I was marked to be a statistic in this country. But the ancestors had another vision for me that I didn't even have for myself at the time. The Most High had another vision for me that I didn't even have for myself at that time. And yes, the elders who I encountered also had another vision for me that I did not see at the time. So it's important that we sit at the feet of elders, that we sit at the feet of our great mothers, that we sit at the feet of our great fathers, and not only listen and internalize their wisdom, but then act upon it, put it into action. And sometimes young people say, well, I can't respect, you know, an elder who ain't living right. Well, there's a message in every elder. You know, I had many elders, may they rest now in a room that had diabetes, that had heart problems, that ate whatever they want, that drank whatever they want, that smoked whatever they want. So there was a valuable lesson in watching that and knowing what not to do, what not to become, what not to internalize. I think sometimes doing the work, we call that shadow work nowadays, it's difficult because it does require people looking at their pain, their hurt, their tragedy, you know, where they feel incomplete, because this is really at the foundation of why we eat the way we do, why we live the way we do, how we treat ourselves and our body temple as God and as goddesses. So I ask of the audience, please, to share your story, plug in those webcams, don't be shy. If indeed you don't have access to a webcam, my phone line is open at area code 845-277-9143, 845-277-9143. Be patient with me. Do press the number one. I will come and unmute your mic. Something else I learned, too, beloved queen, while I was out there, you know, on the streets, was the value of money, but also the value of food. Those were two things that were, you know, as a homeless teenager, that were prevalent and on the top of priority every day. How do I eat? How do I sleep? So the value of money and the value of food. And I learned really quickly that what's not good for you often is the cheapest in the store. It's often the easiest to get in the stores. It's often right at the end of the aisle or right at the checkout, you know, those things that are not always good for us that are full of artificial this and artificial that, you know, the dead carcasses of cows, chickens, and the pus and mucus of animals, you know, that those things are right up front. But when you start changing how you view your body temple and then those offerings that we're taking into the body temple, you find that what's most healthy, what's most holistic, you know, what's most wholesome, what's most good for you, takes a little work and takes a little study and research. You know, it's always way in the back or at the lower bottom shelf, you know, or hidden behind some less attractive packaging. And so my mom, who's often in our audience, Evangelist Savage, you know, taught us at a very young age how to not only read labels, but to understand what that was that we were reading. And if it has more letters in it than you can comprehend, it's probably not good for you. If you can't pronounce it, it's probably not good for you. If it has some really technical scientific name is probably not good for you. And so I learned these things early on in life, but it took a great deal of maturing and development personally before I began to really actively act in those and wisdoms and those that knowledge. It took, as with your story, it took tragedy. It took heartache. It took being broken. It took doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result, which was never satisfactory. A big story in my life is indeed Hurricane Katrina. Without Hurricane Katrina and that losing everything that you have and that threat of not only losing everything you have, but your way of life and your lifestyle and your friends and the things that you are most comfortable with, that took my journey to Texas. Now, I applaud your story, but Texas wasn't good for me.
Oh, no.
Dallas wasn't good for me. I felt like I was in a foreign country. Many of the people who even understood who I was just on face value often didn't speak English. So I was now learning Spanish. I was now learning how to integrate into communities that I had never really had to integrate before. I was called Aunt Jemima to my face. I was called a nigga to my face in a McDonald's while eating with two of my white neighbors who were questioned as to why they were riding around with this nigga in their car. So Dallas, I'm not going to say Texas, Dallas was not good for me in that way. But the 11 months that I stayed there, as with your story, it really forced me to rebuild who I was, to redefine who I was, to get clear in here. That's why I say understanding. My cousin likes to say overstanding. But I like to get clear about who I was and moving forward, understanding that the people who call me Aunt Jemima don't define me. Understanding the black folks from my community who left us hanging during Katrina didn't define me. Understanding that my background and my past and all those things that I had experienced leading up to that moment in time space did not truly define who I was. And you use a term that I've been using for a very long time, downloads. You know, I'm considered a bit of a crystal master. Crystal is one of my number one alternative healing tools, quartz crystal. It does not take a whole lot of direction. However, the more you understand about it, the better you can work with it. It does not necessarily take a building, a church, a preacher, a leader, an imam to work with quartz crystal. It is indeed natural. I don't mean fake crystal. I don't mean lead crystal. Natural, uncut. Many of my clients have heard me say this repeatedly, uncut, unpolished, natural quartz with all the records still intact. If the surface don't look like an LP or 45, chances are it's been polished down. And so there's a record there that's being removed, as well as the power within the body of the quartz itself. It resonates with our body in a way that nothing else does. It has a similar water content and chemical makeup in terms of silicon dioxide. And I understand you have some degrees that I don't have, so you might be able to speak to some of this a little bit better than me. It resonates with light and water and our physicality in the way that nothing else does. When I first came in contact with quartz crystal, while I was out there on my journey, I was probably 19. And I met a prophet in Chicago, Bahala, may he rest in Oroon. And he taught me about resonance and vibration and light and quartz and what many of those mystery scriptures in the Bible meant, you know, where two or more are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst of him. And we would go out and have coffee or have lunch, and just the weirdest, most profound, most miraculous things would happen while we were together. Or while we were in, you know, conversation about something. And so I learned that power of amplification and vibration that quartz crystal can do, that ability to bring focus and light to our shadow and light to our darkness in a way that nothing else really does. I also describe it as, you know, we take minerals and we take vitamins internally, hopefully from our fruits and vegetables and our foods, so that it can nourish our body. And we don't have to tell it where exactly to go. We don't have to tell it what part of the body needs what. You know, nature has already worked that in. Well, your quartz crystal and your rose quartz and your pink salt, all of that is what is in often these commercialized products. Ground down rocks, ground down fish parts, ground down things from within nature that contain these minerals, these vitamins. And so the quartz is able to sort of allow us to take that from the outside in, to absorb that into our body, into our spirit. So I love this topic. Quartz is just one alternative form of healing that I utilize, sound, vibration, singing bowls, nature, you know, getting out in nature, getting out in the dirt, getting out in the lake, getting out in the river, getting out in the ocean, getting out in the swamp sometimes, you know, and really reconnecting with nature. We've lost touch with nature in Western commercialized, industrialized, you know, culture. Many kids don't even know where their food really come from, you know, and some things our children probably would not eat, you know, if we put that food item right next to where it comes from, you know, and then teach them how it's made and how it's processed. We live often in these buildings with no windows. Some of you, I don't, but some of you live in these more modern buildings with only AC, and no ability to bring in fresh air. Working in office buildings for 8, 10, 12 hours a day and are going against the natural rhythm of nature. Many of us are vitamin D deficient because you all don't get any sunlight. You all don't spend any time out, you know, with the goddess, with the Atan that's presenting us light rays of energy and vitamin D and other powerful things. So I am honored to have you here. I'm grateful for your story. I'm grateful for your story. And I'm appreciative that you took the time out of your day to be with us as long as you will to sort of share more of your story, but also what you do and how we now teach this to a modern society that really believes it can be done in a pill. It can be done overnight. It can be done with some quick fix. How do we then teach this in a way that people are able to absorb it against all the background noise that you described?
So that's an excellent question. And that's really where we as a collective are going with the global holistic movement. So I am the founder of the Global Holistic Movement. And one of the things that we have a tendency of looking at is we look at life in a one-dimensional way, whereas, okay, you know, and then really I'm going to go back to saying that we should have learned this stuff when we were first born. To this world, some things that we should have learned. You know, when we were conceived in our mother's stomach, there's some things that we should have learned. And where I know that you've gone off, Prince, into an area where you were talking about reading labels and going into the grocery store and knowing about whether or not you want to have you know, reading the labels and trying to decide whether or not you want to have just eat anything. Think about how things happen over reading, over the course of time. Let's just take the time out. There was a day and time that we did have grocery stores. And actually, right. It's that same way when you go to the continent, trust me, when you go to the continent, we are eating off the land. And see, we're here in the States. We are now here in the States, and we've become conditioned in a way that we, let's go to the grocery store. You know, when right now we should be plant, if you don't have a big, beautiful home or your own home, you can use a planter. We should be potting. What we have to do is we have to aggressively control of our own lives, okay? It's not that serious. It's not even, you don't have to worry about reading the labels when you're growing some stuff in your own yard. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
When you are planting your own earth, your own fresh vegetables, you know, your own fruit, we are here in Texas. We are here in the South. In the South, you can grow this stuff.
Yes.
So let's start, you know, whether it's in the South, wherever it is you are, take control of your life. Stop waiting for the system, which that's exactly what it is. Stop waiting for the system to feed you, because every single time, they are not here to heal you. They're here to kill you. Your food should be your medicine. Think about it. Your food should be your medicine. So when you are thinking about, boy, when I go in the grocery store, okay, you don't have to read the ingredients on an apple, an orange, some broccoli. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to read the ingredients on this. Some celery. These are all fresh fruits and vegetables. Go to the produce section. Forget about that crop that they have on these other sides of the store. Trust me, there's a way around all of this. You know, everybody's not going to be in a place where they're going to say, I'm going to take the time out to read a label, okay? But I'm going to tell you, no labels are necessary. Take those, get those fresh fruits and vegetables. Let's start thinking about eating healthy by eating healthy salads. Let's start looking at our snacks and what the alternatives are, which is you can get a carrot. You can get an apple. An apple a day helps keep the doctor away. We're talking about laxatives and all this other stuff. Start eating an apple. I guarantee you that will transform that whole system. It's very fibrous, and you start eating an apple a day, it's good for your teeth. It's good for your system. If that will be your natural laxative, it's good for your digestive system. You know what I mean? Other things. I have Queen Ginger Tea here in Dallas, Texas. A product that's been out, again, I mean, this has been a platform for me to move forward. But I'm going to tell you something about ginger root. When we talk about healing the body, yeah, plant your garden. Your garden is fantastic. Thank you, Ebony. That's what I'm talking about. Make your own choice to say, this is my body, is my temple. I respect my temple, and I am so much worth it. I'm worth it. You have to set a precedent in your life and your children's life, that's true, of what it is you want to do. You know what I mean? And so when you take something like ginger root, like I mentioned previously, ginger root, I make Queen Ginger Tea. It's the best-selling tea, ginger tea, here in Dallas, Texas. It's been voted the best-selling ginger tea. Let me mention this. I took some ginger root, lemon, and honey. Excellent. No, not eating.
It's not healthy.
You got to eat.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm saying is, it's a matter of saying, let me get something that, when I talk about your food is your medicine, let me mention this. Ginger root. Ginger root is great for healing your body naturally. You're dealing with digestion problems. You need to realign your digestive system. We're talking about getting to the root of the problem, okay? Not putting a Band-Aid on it. I'm going to go back to ginger root. If you didn't have something to use or grow, you can take some ginger root, cut that off, and eat it, you know, every single day. You are realigning your digestive system. It's going to healing your body from the inside out. Prostate. Men that are dealing with prostate issues. You don't have to go out here and take what they're trying to give you at the doctor's office. Start eating ginger root. Okay? You want to lose weight? You need an appetite suppressant? You need something to energize you? Instead of going out to get that power drink, get you some ginger root. See what I'm saying? This is all, you know, you want to lower your blood pressure. You're dealing with blood pressure. You're dealing with diabetes. You know, all of these things, you want to take all this over-the-counter medicine. Let's see. Let me read labels. Don't read the label. I'm going to tell you this. Go to the produce department. and get your phone out. Use your phone for everything else. Get your phone out. You want to get your phone out? Get your phone out. Put it in there. And what does it say? Oh my God. If I eat ginger, it's going to do this. If I eat lemon, it's going to do this. If I eat an apple a day, it's going to do this. If I eat some celery, it's going to do this. Lower your blood pressure. You see what I'm saying? Lowering your blood pressure. Yes. And it's alkaline. Thank you. You know, bringing your body to a state of alkalinity.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? We are saying, I love my temple this much. I love me this much. And guess what? This is the other thing. People want to say it's so expensive to eat healthy. The lies you tell. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about that talk? We all got this talk that's going on in our brain that's telling us it's too expensive to eat healthy. Or if you eat healthy, such and such and such. Do you even know what you are eating when you go to these fast food restaurants? Have you? When you get a chance, check out What the Health, okay? I don't know how many of you have ever seen that video, What the Health, and then there's a series of them out there. But check out What the Health. That's one of them. Go ahead and put it up, YouTube, whatever, Google it, whatever. But let me tell you something. Free garden, fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, I have a huge garden in my yard that I use, not just for food, but obviously also for ritual work. We have two more. On my block, two more in the community, and then we're surrounded here in Treme by other community gardens that we share the work and share, you know, the food. So I like the notion of gardening, and some people say, oh, well, that's because you live in Texas and you live in Louisiana. But no, you can get the huge pots, you know, from your Lowe's or your Home Depot or whatever, and start planting things that are productive in your region of the country, and you'd be surprised what will survive the winter, you know, if you cover it or bring it inside, depending on your region. So I really like talking about gardening and growing my own herbs and my turmeric. You know, I love my turmeric. It's miraculous what turmeric can do for your body, and I appreciate that.
Right. So, yeah, so that's yes, so that's what my advice is. Kale, spinach, fruit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a matter of you. Let me tell you something. It's too expensive to be sick. That's true. You know, you can't afford to not eat healthy. Let me say that. The way this system is built, this system is centered around you getting sick. I mean, if you just really, if you pay any attention, okay, from the time you're born, they want to put you on cow's milk. Are you a cow? Are you a cow? A cow's milk is for a cow. That's the reason why your mother has breast milk that you are supposed to feed off from the time you're born. From the time you're born, they want to give you, you know, the shot, the vaccine. Okay, from the time you're born, all of this stuff, you are coming into a world where they are conditioning you to rely upon the system. To rely upon the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I am here to say to you, pay attention to what you're eating. Pay attention to what you're putting in the system. Take the time out because you are worth it. You're worth it. Without your health, you don't have anything. Your health is your wealth. And when we start thinking in that manner, then we can start reexamining what it is we're doing. Drinking cow's milk, since this, yeah. And cow's milk is definitely not good for you. It's not good. That milk definitely increases mucus and inflammation in the system. There's nothing good about cow's milk. So when we start realizing what's going on and what you're putting in your body, then you could start waking up and realizing why it is you are dealing with on a regular basis. I don't know why I have pain. I don't know why I have all these allergies and things are going on in my system. Oh, if the season is changing, listen, you need to get some of your mucus out of here and leave that dairy alone.
Yeah.
If people are, I can't live without my cheese. I can't live without my milk. You know, yes, you can actually, you are not living.
Yeah.
You can do it out. You know what I mean? No, you can't live. You already put it on the universe. No, you're not going to live. You won't live a good quality life. It's not holding back on nutrition. You can get your nutrition through this. You can get just as much vitamin C and vitamin D through your oranges and apples and pineapples and, you know, broccoli, bok choy. You know, just start looking at kale, all of your different leaves and stuff. And then you have your dandelion, your dandelion, all these different basils and herbs. I mean, come on now. Let's start paying attention. Let's wake up. I say, wake up! That's what I'm here to say. Let's wake up. If I was there, I would shake you a little bit and say, listen, this system, they have conditioned you to be conditioned. Understand, you are in this matrix, and they have conditioned you. And it's up to you to say, no. You said, we have enough it. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So the thing I'm saying is, it's all about people wake up calls and tests. To those of you that are unconscious of what it is you're putting in your system, understand this. If it's not something that is feeding you, then it's killing you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
And that's part of the plan. And that's part of the plan to either keep you a slave or mm-hmm. make you lose your mind and become a zombie.
Right.
That's really the plan. Even to die, you know, is expensive to bury people. So to keep people sick and keep people codependent on pills and medication and the pharmaceutical industry, that's the ultimate goal of people who are in high, wealthy positions in the world who are pushing this fake artificial food, you know, in our face. I had the pleasure of meeting Adama from Georgia, if you're familiar with her, back in the early 90s, and she was talking holistic, and she would ask, the first question she would ask is, are you vegan? Are you vegetarian? What are you eating? You know, what are you taking in your body? So I'm grateful to have had throughout the course of my life elders and older folk who knew better, who came to know better, who then passed that information down. And as I said before, like many of us, you know, I ate what I wanted, you know, in my 20s, you know, I kind of waned off of it, you know, as I came into a mature place in my life, in my 30s, and really began to value myself, understand what my purpose is. It's hard for you to understand your destiny, have your destiny read by my cousin, Oloye Ifowole, you know, and then treat your body as if you're still confused about why you're here and what your purpose and your destiny is. Anthony X, fasting is good occasionally, but I think often fasting is probably more helpful for people who are eating and have consumed so much nonsense and might need a detox, you know, but even during a detox, you still want to drink water, drink herbal teas, eat light fruits and vegetables. You still want to sort of take something in. Not eating is just not healthy. I've learned that medically. I've learned that scientifically. Not eating is just like healthy. It's just not healthy. It is something that was sort of taught to us or introduced to us by those three main world religions, you know, Judaism, Islam, you know, Christianity. But I think at the foundation of that, it's about discipline, what both the Queen and my cousin said early in the show, learning discipline, learning not to eat what's not good for you. You don't need a fast or a diet. If you're listening to your body and you're listening to spirit and you're listening to nature, we don't need these sort of interventions, if you will. So I hear what you're saying. I used to fast in my younger years, but I've learned at my age and as I get older, fasting is really just not healthy.
So I just need to mention that I'm not going to be able to stay on for the full 2 hours. I'm going to end up having to exit out. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure being on the program today, today's program. I want to definitely mention to everyone how they could stay in contact with me. And that is, you're more than welcome. If you have your phones, you can get them out. You want to text my health as well, all caps, one word. Texting my, all caps, one word, my health is well, 22828. Yes. And that way you will continue to get emails, newsletters, self-content that will definitely start encouraging, start to transform that mind and give you words of encouragement. We also have every month, we have a 7 days to better health. We feature top-notch practitioners, healers, educators, and light workers that are working in the community. So definitely you're more than welcome if you text my health as well. Check out our website. We have an event coming up June 26th and June 27th. So you're more than welcome. I'd love to see you all at our festival. It's a two-day festival here in Dallas, Texas. Check us out, www.holisticfestival.life. You're more than welcome to email me at queenavanah@gmail.com. If you happen to be in Texas, or you're interested in finding out more about Queen Ginger Tea, you can definitely, again, email me at queenavanah@gmail.com. So I would be glad to have you as my client as well. If you're interested in some life and wellness coaching, I do it virtually, and I also do it in person. So, you know, if you're interested in that, I am here. Thank you so much for having me today on today's program. I want to definitely leave you with, and if we could all, I don't know if you have a pencil and paper, but I want to definitely leave you with some positive affirmations that you are able to say to yourself every day. So positive affirmations is everything. We need to be in a place and a space where when we wake every morning, we need to speak to ourselves and speak to our spirit. Whatever you're putting out into the universe, you are feeding your spirit. So I'm just going to give you a couple positive affirmations to leave with. Okay? And I'm doing my best. I choose to be happy and to love myself today. My possibilities are endless. I am worthy. I am brave, bold, and beautiful. Today is going to be an excellent day. I am talented and intelligent. I am free of worry and regret. My thoughts become my reality. I am in love with myself and my body. I am proud of myself. I am becoming more confident every day. I believe in myself. I will not worry of things I cannot control. I will be kind to myself and others today. I love myself, and I am grateful for all that I have. Start each day with gratitude, love, and life. Queen Avanah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Much gratitude for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And please feel free to come back whenever you will to share with us, to advertise with us. We certainly appreciate you.
Much gratitude. It's a pleasure meeting with everyone.
Thank you.
See you soon, Queen.
Okay, we'll see you.
Peace.
So, Oloye, would you like to add to the subject matter or respond to the subject matter in any way?
The one thing that I will say about fasting, I myself try to do intermittent fasting, where I usually am eating kind of like one good meal a day, and then another time I might, you know, eat some fruit, You know, you guys see me sipping on some lemon ginger tea with some honey in it. But, you know, I try, we have to look inside of different facets and perspectives. In Ifa, it also speaks about in taboos for us, particular things to eat and not to eat that might not be in alignment with our best health. So you'll find that when maybe you go through a particular reading, it might say you shouldn't eat this for a good period of time, maybe 30 days, maybe it's a taboo that has to last for an extended period of time and some that last for a lifetime. So in the abuse, it will say it's not good to eat this. This is not in good alignment with your consonants. So you need to leave these things alone. The other part about it, especially when you go and you're dealing with specific orisha, there's certain things sometimes that you should not be eating if you're going to be in alignment with orisha. If you're doing like seed deity, like Olufun or Oshun or even Yemoya and even Oya, they each might say to step away from seafood or aspects of seafood. If you're dealing with another orisha, it will tell you to stay away from this. It might be a sacred food for that orisha, and it's not good for you to be consuming that sacred food because you're in alignment or you're initiated or you're walking with that orisha. So different orisha have different things that will help you as well within a tradition to continue good health. So that's just another point of view, a perspective that adds along with what Queen has shared with you. Queen is very humble. Queen has a tremendous amount of other information and knowledge that she shares and that would benefit many of us. So, you know, we have to look at, we talked about before, when we equate what she said, we're talking about Ori. When she says that when you get up in the morning and you're doing positive affirmations, for myself, when I do my Ori, when I pray to my Ori, right after I might do Oriki, I go directly into affirmations. Because I have to program into myself and deprogram out of myself the stuff that maybe I've been thinking and holding on to because it's not in alignment with what's going to help me to rise up and ascend. So one way that we can look at it if we're in the tradition is to get up, when we hold our Ori, we're doing our prayers, but then we're doing the positive affirmations as well as our prayers. So we're doubling up on what we're putting into our mind and into our thought to start off the day eating well, eating properly, receiving and intaking properly. So let's look at this from all facets. Holistic healing from all facets of life. Queen also does massage therapy. Queen also does, oh man, she does all kinds of other stuff. Ramon, you're here, so why don't you type in some of the other things that Queen does. You probably have a better idea than even I of all the aspects that she does. But we have to look at this at this healing now from a tremendously holistic perspective, even from a spiritual level of what we're taking in spiritually. What have we taken in spiritually before, and now what we're willing to take in spiritually now to better off our health in a spiritual level. Many of us have taken in these things or these beliefs that have left us in a place where we haven't been able to grow to our highest potential. And now we've come, and many of us have now come into the traditions, the African traditions, and some are still struggling because it's a struggle to change the diet, to change what we're thinking, to change
how we're moving forward with our spiritual journey. So we just have to look at all of these aspects in terms of our overall healing and growth and expansion. And so I hope that everybody takes in what Queen has talked about, and that we add other components of our own journey so that we can all be healthy in all areas of life.
Ashe, Ashe. I want to respond, if I may, to Ebony Williams. Yeah, I experienced that as I grew and even as I mature. I can remember distinctly somewhere back in the early 90s, just not being able to eat a hamburger. The meat the texture was different. The color was different. Of course, I learned later on that they were, you know, pumping carbon dioxide into the meat to keep it red, among other things that are happening, you know, in these industrialized farms and plants and harvesting centers. So having your appetite or your sense of taste change, I think is pretty normal. There are things, you know, some people can eat peanut butter as a kid and then just can't as an adult. You know, some people might enjoy a grilled cheese as a child, but just can't fathom it, you know, as adult. Some of us grow beyond, you know, a taste for pizza or some of these other, you know, items that we have consumed over the years. So I think that's a natural part of the process. I think when I first read your comment, what about when your appetite constantly changes? My mind first went back to some of what Anthony X is speaking about and sort of this idea of fasting. And so if your body, and my cousin, I'm sure as you know, someone who's much more physically inclined than I am could speak to this, but if you're active particularly and you're not feeding your body, then your body starts to pull from your kidneys and from other organs. This can elevate your blood sugar, by the way, and can create conditions for you to develop, you know, diabetes, as well as heart problems and other issues. So when I first read your statement, I was thinking, you know, changing appetite might have something to do with how much protein you're getting and when you're actually eating that. For instance, the sister talked about salads, and many people think of a salad as being, you know, lettuce and potato and tomatoes. Well, tomatoes are good, absolutely tomatoes, particularly, what do they call them, heirloom tomatoes we grow in our yards, are really full of nutrients and vitamins. If you notice, some of the tomatoes you might get at the store seem really light in taste, don't have a lot of substance to them. And so, again, if you can garden, create a gardening community, you know, where you live, where you can grow different things and then share, that's very helpful. Lettuce. I stopped eating lettuce 20 years ago. There's really not a whole lot in lettuce other than just water. So if I'm going to eat a green, it is going to be kale. It's going to be spinach. It's going to be something with a little more depth of content. Within it. I'm sort of on the fence about arugula, you know. I know it has some health benefits to it, but I really like the deeper leafy green vegetables. But then beyond that, you know, there's a wide variety of vegetables and fruit and even nuts and grains that can be added to enhance your salad to ensure that you are getting more than just water, you know, and a little bit of fiber, but some protein. So I like salads that have beans in them, you know, black beans, red beans in particular. They say the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. The darker the bean, the more I'm likely to eat it, you know, and appreciate it. So sometimes your body is responding to what you're eating. For example, some people say, oh, well, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to exercise. And the first thing you do is just eliminate eating. That's not good. It's not good for losing weight. It's not good for building muscle tone. It's not good for having the energy, if you will, that you need to power your furnace, which is your body, particularly if you're active, if you're working out, if you're moving about all day. you're running, you're jogging, you're playing. Your body needs a certain degree of food in order to keep it moving smoothly. Again, the industrial complex has created protein drinks and protein bars and diet bars. And so, you know, I'll just take one of those as a substitute for a meal. But that's not entirely healthy either. If it's in an emergency and you need a shortcut, perhaps. But most athletic individuals will tell you as soon as possible, they're going to eat something wholesome, hummus, oatmeal, beans. They're going to eat something, you know, with some substance to it. So just eating is just not eating, I should say, is not an answer unto itself. I think there are appropriate environments in which fasting can be applied. And even when we look at the Islamic culture, they only fast from sunup to sundown. They're going to have a healthy meal after dark, power their body, and to give them the strength and the energy that you need. One of the first places that lacks nutrients and lacks water is often the one place in our body that we can't immediately feel, and that's your brain. That's your brain. By the time you get that headache, you know, that heat stroke feeling, you way past the point of when you should have hydrated, when you should have ate, you know, some fruit, some vegetables, some yogurt. So our brains can't operate in a truly spiritual capacity if our body is polluted and we're not feeding it the proper nutrients and wellness that we need.
I think that we also got to understand one of the things is I know that Obai used to tell me all the time because I actually have some of the health issues. I have prostate issues. And he used to tell me all the time, hey, you know, you got to make sure that you're eating, because I had a tendency of not eating because I didn't want the problems with the prostate to keep on bothering me. And it was actually doing the opposite by not eating or not taking in a lot of water and all of that, you know, I had to make sure that I was understanding from his, from that perspective, because he does a lot of other healing too. You know, he's been in the Chinese tuna, which is like another form of the massage and all that. So we have to look at what is going to help our energy, our shape. What's going to help us to make it stronger? What can we eat that's going to be that which is going to sustain us over the long haul and give us longevity? So this topic for us, and let's just break it down now. As a black man and woman here in America, we have struggles and challenges of significant health issues. Every time we turn around, our health is in struggle because of different factors from stress, different factors from possibly financial, and not realizing that if we get the fresh food, we can actually get food that will sustain even longer than the stuff that we buy in the cans and all that. We can make fresh, you know, dinner and all that our elders and ancestors used to make every day. When we look at society today and we're looking at the burdens that's placed on us, some of us, we're struggling to figure out how we're going to survive in a time and place where so much is going on, where every time we're going out, you know, I spoke about this before, and I hold tight to it. As black men, whenever we walk out the door, we're always in thought of the possibility of having to deal with a situation that might just... you know, might just lead us to a place where we never even thought about when we walked out the door and just went to a store. So we have to look at all the factors in our lives that
that attribute to why our health issues are even in a more difficult place than many other cultures. I think we talked about some of the other cultures that came here to America and then they changed their diet and tried to Americanize their diet. And in doing such, their health now, they got their own health issues that they really shouldn't be having. They should have maintained the traditional diets. So we have to look at this from all of our lifestyle. What lifestyle are we living? Are we getting enough sleep? Or are we worried and we're up till crazy hours and really not getting 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep? You know, are we understanding that the sleep helps to heal? Are we understanding that, you know, whatever the mental problems, the mental cases, the mental struggles, right? What attributes to the mental challenges? Stress. And as well, of course, the chemical imbalance sometimes. But the stress of everyday life, maybe I'm not making enough at my job. Maybe now I got to go and work 2 and 3 jobs in order to bring enough home. But then I got to understand, because I did that, now I'm not spending the time that I need with my family. All of those things are contributing factors many times to the health and why our elders even went through some of the struggles that they had trying to take care of all of these things and not realizing that all of those components together were part of the health struggles and challenges.
I think juicing is a great thing. However, understand just from the most basic, without me getting too scientific, you're extracting all the fiber when we juice. So juicing can be good, you know, you're getting that liquefied, you know, nutrients and minerals, particularly if you, you know, morning ritual, workout, you know, in between meal, great. But you've got to have fiber. I also wanted to speak to, again, the not eating and sort of over-focused on just, you know, salads when we think of some vegans and some vegetarians. And some of them are greatly underweight because they aren't getting the fiber. They aren't getting the protein. They aren't getting the nutrients. And personally, in my opinion, the average American, without doing a little homework, is not that educated about food and diet and what we really need to sustain our bodies individually. So get your doctor involved or your dietitian involved or your nutritionist involved to ensure that you're getting, you know, the appropriate nutrients. Again, some people say, I want to lose weight, and so they just stop eating. That actually works against your goal. And so it's the same thing with the vegetarian that says, okay, I'm going vegetarian, and now I'm only eating salads and potatoes and tomatoes. Because I know some vegans or vegetarians don't eat root vegetables. That's another source of fiber and nutrients. And then what else are you eating? You know, seaweed. You know, there are many other products I'm sure both me and my cousin can mention now by name that would be greatly unfamiliar to a lot of people, you know, who are in the audience. Spirulina. I learned what spirulina was in Atlanta back in the early 90s and what that adds to our body and to our overall sense of wellness. So just like the mind, balance is critical to anything we do, including eating. So you tend to pick up some muscle. You tend to pick up some tone when you are eating properly and getting the right amount of nutrients and proteins and fiber. Just being thin alone is not a sign of health any more than being fat alone is a sign of health. It has to come down to what you're eating, what you're taking in, and getting that balance of nutrients. And somehow it's popular now. Since when I was a teenager, I'm seeing a lot of guys between 18 and 30, black guys, that look pre-pubescent, who look like preteens. They're so thin. I mean, so thin. And you can see the bones, you know, in their waist and in certain parts of their body. And they take that as a sign of health. And I'm a vegan, you know, and I'm looking, no, bro, you missing some vital nutrients. And often the problem doesn't show up until you're 30, 35, 40. And then it's not too late, but it's way into progression at that point when you realize that, okay, wait a minute, maybe I need to change up something, you know, about my diet. So, you know, get some advice, you know, from like a personal trainer, like my cousin or a nutritionist or a dietitian, and be sure that you're getting, you know, everything that you need for your body type, for your body weight, for your goals and where you're looking towards in the future in terms of your health. We definitely should have a plan of health, just like we have a plan of prosperity or a plan for survival or, you know, a plan for retirement. You got to have a plan for health. I've got a associate who, you know, can save money and can save money a lot and well, but she does it by eating tuna fish and peanut butter. It's not healthy. And as my cousin and the queen suggested, the medical costs are going to be absorbent, are going to eat up her savings if she continues to sort of treat her body that way. So there's no real excuse for not eating or starving the body or thinking this is somehow going to help you, you know, reach your goal. I have another friend, diabetic, and, you know, sugar's always in a weird place. And so his first response is, oh, well, I'm just not going to eat today. No, bruh, now your body's pulling on your liver and your kidneys and other parts of your body, which can produce insulin unto itself, which elevates, you know, your blood sugar. And those people end up on dialysis in their 50s and 60s, if not younger. It's happening younger now, you know. So you've got to look at what you're eating with just as much detail and importance as our spirit walk, as our spirit journey.
Yeah, and we also have to understand that in earlier parts of our life, yeah, we can get away with not eating well and not sleeping a lot and all that. But I guarantee as you start getting older and you're moving into your late 40s, mid-40s, late 40s, 50s, it will all start coming back to you in a variety of diverse medical issues and concerns. And you're going to be trying to figure out, why am I dealing with this blood pressure issue? Why am I dealing with this prostate issue? Why am I dealing with this or that? It's because over the years, the lack of taking care of our body and getting proper sleep and all of that go into why, you know, it's built up over time. It's like plaque. It's like mucus. In the beginning, the mucus is not just automatically that thick. But over time, and with us not cleaning out and clearing out, then the mucus, as it sticks to you, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And before long, now you have these medical issues, and now you have to deal with getting good cleansing and all of that if you want to clear out the mucus. And it also goes to beauty, right? There's a big European perspective of beauty, being all skinny and bony and just not real healthy. But you know, in the African culture, it's completely opposite. It's a woman with thickness, a woman that has meat on their bones. It is a complete opposite perspective of what is deemed as beautiful. So we also have to look at what it is that we are holding on to that's not our culture, that is the culture of others that we have, you know, took hold to. A lot of people go through medical issues because they're trying to look beautiful from a European perspective or a Western perspective. And in doing that, you got people now that
of sisters that are going through anorexia and all these other issues because they're not eating, they're not maintaining their health. And now here they are with their kidney problems. Here they are with eating problems. They're trying to deprive themselves of that which is necessary for them to sustain, to eat well, to live. And so we really have got to begin to look at our own ancestry and our own cultures. What were we eating in West Africa that made our ancestors healthy? Were we eating rice? Yeah, you know, rice was a part of the diet. Was it like rice, vegetables, and a small amount of meat? I don't think that we ever ate these big globs of meat because we, even though we ate it and we barbecued and all of that stuff, we still were mindful of not being too heavy and eating too heavy because of all the work that we had to do. So we have to look at what's the diet in Benin? I began to look up the diet in Benin. What's the diet in Nigeria? After going out there and witnessing the diet out there, you know, it's rice and maybe in some places they call cassava, right? They have meat that they barbecue. There's not an extreme amount of different vegetables like we have here. They have some fruit that they eat. A lot of times it's not drinking soda and all of the fruity, sugary stuff. It's water, right? So let's look back into our own DNA as to the diet that we were derived from, that we came from, that our ancestors were intaking themselves.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. And I was kind of in the chat. Some of this food come from cave culture, caveman culture, come from the north. You know, the idea of eating a whole pig, you know, a half of a rack of a lamb or something, you know, it's also not demonstrated in places like Asia or South America, which have a very similar, you know, diet palate to Africans. Primarily fruits and vegetables, you know, maybe a little bit of meat, of protein, you know, for flavor through meat, but primarily what can be grown, what could be harvested. So we see that all around the world, and that whole idea of eating, you know, the double waffle with cheese, you know, is a very sort of Eurocentric caveman-like behavior. That eating raw meat, eating large portions of raw meat, and then at some point evolving into cooking that meat. And that has somehow translated into a sign of wealth. When we think about the wealthy European kings and royals is where we start hearing these stories about gorging. In fact, Mardi Gras culture, you know, St. Charles Avenue Mardi Gras culture, where the parade floats are rolling and you know, Bacchus, which is the god of drunkenness. You know, there's a celebration of excess that happens during Mardi Gras. A lot of meat, a lot of rum, a lot of wine, you know, whatever that might be. But it's not something, as you suggested, cousin, that we see a lot of really in the indigenous world, unless we're looking at, you know, Eskimo culture. Northern European culture. That's why I use the reference caveman culture. The coldest regions of the earth where a lot of plant growth is not happening, but these people also have to have a certain amount of body fat, you know, in order to survive, you know, those harsh winters, that harsh winter-like environment. So the warmer the temperatures on the planet, the more you tend to see growth of produce, growth of fruits, vegetables, herbs, you know, whatnot. And then the cultures around that environment learn to use those food products for both their health, but also for their wellness and their healing. I want to greet the beloved Otan. Thank you so much for being with us, beloved, on screen. We certainly do appreciate you. Yes, I also had the privilege of meeting and working with Dr. Sabi back in the early 90s, which, as many of you can imagine, was a very powerful experience in learning about the power of foods, the power and healing within foods. But also, Dr. Sabi was very eloquent about the industrial complex and what was being used against us, what was being done to us by way of our foods. So when we look at the rates of violence and domestic violence and mental health, a lot of it can be traced back to not just trauma or PTSD or growing up in abusive environments, but by what we eat and what we're taking into our bodies. Otan, did you have something you want to share?
Greetings again, everyone. I was still here. I was just in the chat. We were sitting here talking about food, so I'm sorry. You know what I ain't eat today. That made me feel bad. It made me a salad.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Let me go eat. Because I hadn't even eaten. I was like, you know what? I'm hearing this for a reason. But I agree with everything today. It was absolutely powerful. I enjoyed listening and definitely learning, being inspired in ways I didn't even see until today. So I just thank for being able to be in the midst and listen and learn and grow and receive all of the information that was shared. I too do, I guess, what Baba Loya would call the intermittent fasting, where I don't do like the three meals a day. I may eat. I don't do breakfast anymore. I'm just not, when I first wake up in the morning, I don't want to eat immediately. So I'll eat usually around noon and then a couple of times more before I would say eight or 9 o'clock at night. And then that'll be it. But I don't do that all the time. So I've been improving that and listening to about the vegetables and the growing. I'm at my beginning stages, but I'm excited about it.
Listen to me. You and I are the same about that getting up, eating, and not feeling like eating. I developed diabetes because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to eat. I'm told that you've got to eat within the first 90 minutes that you wake up. Even if it's some fruit, a bowl of oatmeal, because your body, again, will then start to pull those nutrients from you.
And I've had other issues, and it's amazing that you said that, because going to one doctor and something was off, and when they did my blood, I was just told that my A1C was too high. And now that I'm knowing it's from not eating, it's just when I wake up that I have plenty of fruit here. That's not an excuse. So knowing that now, that explains it, because I'm not a heavy fast. I come from a cooking family. I'm usually cooking all the meals in the house. I'll take a break and make them eat a sandwich or something for lunch, because I got four boys. So hunger is endless for some reason. But I need to start doing that. So thank you for that. I definitely needed to hear that. And I'm going to start at least having a piece of fruit or something in the morning. Because normally I'm just up and I got my coffee and I'm good. And I'm a definitely add a piece of fruit to that, because
that's
I should. So thank you for that so much. I need to hear that.
That's me. I reach for that coffee first. Now sometimes I'll reach for water and then I'll have coffee. But that has been my pattern most of my life. And when you're 20, you know, you feel okay. You feel, hey, I can, you know, eating, that ain't no big deal. But once I hit that 50 mark, you know, and they started paying more attention to my body, my labs, my chemistry, and they, you know, I revealed my habit. They said, oh, no, you can't do that. You're actually harming yourself by not eating in the morning. So in the spirit of honesty, I struggled with that. It didn't make sense to me at first. What do you mean not eating is not helping me lower my blood sugar? What do you mean not eating? You know, fasting early in the morning is not a good thing. And we fought back and forth, me and my medical team, before I really got it. And then I started seeing it show up in practice. I found that the more that I eat, and eating more doesn't mean McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. I mean, mm-hmm. eating more, you know, fruits, vegetables out of my yard, out of my neighborhood. We got mulberry trees. We got grapefruit trees, you know, 5-pound grapefruit trees, bananas. You know, I found that my sugar got lower and lower and lower. It was almost like magic because mm-hmm. your body, once your brain, that's why I say it all starts in the brain. My cousin said it all yep. starts with Ori. Once your brain thinks you are not going to eat, it is going to pull nutrients from your muscles and from other parts mm-hmm. of your body. So, yeah, you're setting yourself up for the very things that you fear that might be lurking in your family bloodline by not eating. Because
mm-hmm.
this is in my bloodline. I come from generations of diabetics. All four of my grandparents were diabetics, all four. Yeah.
Not all of mine, but yes, my grandmother, that was definitely in my family, you know, fat, diabetes, thyroid, so absolutely. And it's funny because it's like when she spoke with Queen Ebony, did I say her name?
Yeah.
When she spoke of the garden, that really resonated with me because the last few years I started getting into plants and I've always been around them because my mother still has some plants from when I was a child. I started gaining an interest in growing some things and I started last year and I started small. I just did like a tomato plant and some basil and that was it. And they did really, really well. And I added several more things this year and just trying things. And I know, I have a good community here that I'm a part of, and I know people that grow things. There's a Bobby here. He has a beautiful garden on his land, and that's who gave me the longevity spinach. And I never even heard of longevity spinach until he had given it to me, and he told me about it. So I looked it up, and I was just blown away. And so I have that and tomatoes now, and I tried my hand at some romaine lettuce, cucumbers, onions, carrots, and strawberries. We'll see. But so far, so good. But it's, you know, just learn as you grow, add a little bit at a time. And I'm enjoying it. And that's my goal, to get to a point to where I'll be developing most of my own produce as opposed to going to the store. What I can't grow, maybe I can barter and, you know, get from someone else that's growing something or something like that. But I look forward to it. And I've been loving it. And I know what you said about lettuce, but I will say this. I cut some of my romaine last week, and even what I grew tastes way different than what you buy.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I could not. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is romaine? Because it tastes different.
We need Chef Bougie right now. Chef,
yes.
Please plug in your webcam, because he's the master chef in the house. He knows a lot of these alternative foods and grains that some of us can't even pronounce. I just figured out what wasabi was within the last year, but I've been eating it since, you know, I was a kid, but I didn't even know what it was until last year, you know. So Chef Bougie, we appreciate you. If you can turn on your cam, that would be good. That would be great.
And you know, one of the things we also got to realize is I learned this even more when I went to the doctor recently. There is differences in what they look at with African American numbers than they do with European numbers. When they're looking at your blood counts for different things, they are looking at a totally different number, like when it comes to that they were looking at. It might have been something with thyroid or something. The numbers were different. It was a higher number for African American than it was for Europeans. And even on my document, it said as such. So the criteria that is being used for some of what we're dealing with at the doctors, we got to be aware of these numbers for these tests that are. That they do for us. So we got to be real mindful. When we're going to the doctors to get checked out, because a lot of us, we do have to have a combination of Western and Eastern, at least to get an idea of where the numbers sit sometimes, and then know where we have to start from in the many changes. You know, Chef talked about CMOS, and I will say this. I felt significantly different when I began to take CMOS. What was it, 92 out of 100 and something nutrients are found in that CMOS? And over time, because you might not feel it right away. Some people do, some people don't. But over time, in taking the CMOS, I've begun to feel different. But I had to drink it with something right behind tasting it because there's no taste to it.
Yeah.
Look at your face.
Yeah. I feel the same way about coffee substitutes. I am not giving up my coffee. Now, my guidance is as long as I'm eating, drinking double the amount of water, I also drink tea in the afternoons. That's when I break out my herbal concoctions is in the afternoons. Then, yeah, I'm going to hold on to my real coffee. Don't bring no decaffeinated. Don't bring no substitute to my house. It's going to be given away. Okay. I need my real coffee. And there are some oils and benefits to coffee when it is done in moderation. They've done some tests that show some great improvement in terms of people developing Alzheimer's because of coffee. They've done some tests on students studying who had a little peak in their ability to remember and to perform after having a cup of coffee. And I know some people, my cousin might speak to it, who are athletic, who work out, you know, who go to the gym and might have caffeine or a cup of coffee, you know, before they do so. But it can't be the only thing that you're drinking and consuming. And so, again, that balance, you know, is critical. You know, we have a generation or more now of people who are just bouncing off the walls. Many of them are underweight, don't have the necessary muscle tone in their body. We say bipolar, you know, that they're moving quickly through all these activities, and then a week later, you know, they're depressive. I got a powerful artist friend. I won't say what state. It might be too much information, but, you know, great artist. I mean, powerful artist. But then, you know, there's this up post, you know, post positive quotes, happiness, longevity, and then there's these suicidal, depressive, why are we here? The world's going to hell in a handbasket, you know, and again, what are we eating? What are we consuming? What are we taking in, you know, to our body? I don't agree with the human body as a guinea pig theory, Anthony. That I just can't agree with. Our body is more like a science lab, and there are indeed rules to that, you know, what we're taking in and what we're eliminating, et cetera. But I appreciate a lot of your points and of course, your active participation in the chat. And I welcome others to do the same. Now, Chef Bougie, I don't know where you are. It would have been nice if you had popped in. We only got about 14 minutes left in the show. And talk about some of those foods and produce that many people aren't familiar with, have not been exposed to. We would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'd like to know what I can mix with. What do you think with CMOS? Because
the best one that I had was CMOS and honey together. They had the CMOS, and there's some that make CMOS and elderberry. There's some that make CMOS and bladderwrack. There's some that make they combine it in with the CMOS to give it a little bit of taste. And if I don't have it and I have the pure CMOS gel, then I'll do that and I'll right away either like some orange juice, apple juice, or something just to have some flavor going down. That's what helps, you know, that works for me. It might not work for everybody else, but, you know,
the CMOS has definitely helped me to feel better. And yeah, Shanda said CMOS smoothies, where you can do it and combine it with the fresh fruit and stuff like that. That way you won't even it won't even taste the difference. Some people do that on the menu for breakfast. Do a smoothie with fruit and maybe some kale and a couple of other things for breakfast to start the day with all the nutrients.
Maybe I'll try that because I've tried. My sister has made it before, and she tried doing it with pineapples and stuff, and I don't care what you mix it with. It tastes like shrimp or pineapple. I couldn't take it. I tried, and I was just like, ooh, wee, it's not for me. But I make, you know, I make elderberry syrup, and I have it some in the fridge. My kids take it every day. I do the black seed oil. They take that every day. I have slippery elm up in here. I'm growing peppermint. You know, I know about insomnia, but then making banana tea. It's a whole lot of stuff that I do. And I take all of that stuff. It's just when you get to that CMOS, my throat is like, nope. So I'm going to definitely try a smoothie. I think that'll be the best way because, it's healthy, but I got to mix that in some.
Yeah, I
if I understand right, you can put it in regular juice and stuff because there's no flavor, and you can kind of mix it in.
And then make it good?
I don't know. I've not tried it. I just heard. I don't know. I'd say the smoothie is the best bet.
Yeah, because the smoothie is going to be thick anyway if you're preparing it properly. And I even like peppers, green peppers, red peppers, and I'll juice those down into the smoothie and add a little, you know, honey, you know, and sometimes stevia to it. I like to grow my own stevia, you know, stevia grow like sage, baby. Stevia is one of the hardiest plants. Yes, stevia is one of the hardiest herbs you can grow in your yard. It will survive cold temperatures. I'm not going to say it's thick and woody like rosemary, but it has a thicker, coarser constitution to it. And so your stevia will survive cold temperatures. I grew stevia in Wilmington, North Carolina.
I'm in Virginia, so I'm sure that'll be fine.
Which clearly has winter. Yeah, stevia can be grown. And they used to have them, you know, when Home Depot would bring out their herbs at the beginning of the year.
They still got them outside. I'm going to Lowe's. Now I got them.
Yeah, if they have any stevia left, that stevia tends to go really quickly once people figure out what it is and how it works. Yeah, I like to sweeten things with herbs if possible. Before I turn to commercial sweeteners or even honey, I try and use stevia or other sweet plants, you know, which Chef Bougie, I'm sure, would agree, takes, you know, a little experience in balancing, you know, what plants go together that sort of add that extra flavor to whatever it is that you're making that, you know, that we might want.
Does that work better than, what is that, the agave?
Agave will spike your sugar if you're a diabetic. Agave will, honey will, you know, all things in moderation. But if you are like me trying to just remove, you know, sugar out of my diet altogether as much as possible, I go with the stevia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when I get honey, I don't just go to the grocery store. There's a health food store out here that has, like, a lot of local grown stuff. I buy local honey, the raw unfiltered honey that's locally. I heard that that's better than just getting manufactured store-bought honey out of the grocery store. So that's what I use when making teas and making my tinctures and different things as opposed to just the regular, you know, that teddy bear looking honey in the store. I don't buy that one.
Yeah. I don't really trust that one, to be honest.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, just like you said, my husband and I have seen things, and we saw a documentary on honey, on garlic, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to want to eat any of that stuff no more. Not buying it anyway.
Yeah, bee propolis is good. I've tried that, Craig Burns. For years, I took bee propolis with my ginseng in the morning. Yeah, that's a very good. I think we don't know that honey is a natural antibiotic. You know, so it has a very powerful effect in the propolis form. It's sort of the crystallized center portion, you know, of the honeycomb. So yeah, I've tried that. It's very tasty. Date sugar is good. I like dates. We have date tree, date palms in New Orleans. We also have sweet fig trees in New Orleans. They're often referred to as, it's another name for it. It doesn't grow like a tree. It grows more like a vine. And so you find them in New Orleans for like fences or a replacement for a fence. Where you normally would see like boxwood shrubs, it's actually figs. And you can reach in there and pull those sweet figs out. I love figs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just saw, did he say you can buy seeds and seeds with food?
Dark Soul Jua is saying, for your information, a lot of people don't know that you can buy seed for fruits and vegetables with food stamps.
Now,
I didn't know that. I haven't had food stamps in over 30 years, so I had no idea. I knew that you could use food stamps now on your Uber and on some of these, oh, yes, ma'am, on some of these apps, Costco, you know, places like that through the app.
Okay.
But I didn't know you could actually buy seed. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know
that's
that.
Good. Well, then people really have no excuse.
No.
I mean,
no. And let me tell you, again, I'm in New Orleans, so I feel blessed to live in Treme. But I've got bees. I have butterflies. All these. I have lightning bugs. You know, all these things that some areas of the country ain't seen in 10 years. We have them here. And it has everything to do with the production of greenery and fruiting plants and flowering trees. You know, we got the big white, we got a project named after the plant. I just went blank. The tree with the big white flowers, magnolias. We got magnolias all over the city, you know, banana trees all over the city, citrus trees, papaya. You know, all over the city. So we have bees here. We have butterflies here. You're not seeing them in the suburbs where things have been sanitized and your green lawns have been, you know, infiltrated with herbicides, which is killing everything, including you. So if you're killing your weeds with herbicides, you know, have you seen the TV commercials? People are suing now for cancer, okay, from these herbicides. So if your green lawn is green and you're killing off everything that's edible, everything that's usable, you're killing yourself at the same time. And it does get into the water. You know, I'm addicted to documentaries. You know, we got drugs in the water, pharmaceuticals in the water, herbicides in the water. You know, so many people don't trust the water anymore. You know, so again, I'm grateful to live in the South. I'm grateful to be able to see and witness fresh water moving. Salt water moving, you know, plant life, you know, growing, and then being able to sort of partake that. I have a black walnut tree in my yard, banana trees in my yard, plantain in my yard, the big Jamaican elephant ears in my yard. I have five different kind of kumquat trees in my yard.
I can't wait to come over to the yard.
I'm not sharing your business, but the goddess initiative, she's been here.
Man.
I showed her. She's seen my garden. I showed her the gardens in our community. We got two huge gardens in our community. So we grow our own turmeric root. Yeah, we grow our own.
I'm stuck with that. It's wonderful.
We grow our own sugar cane. I got sugar cane in my backyard, and I got sugar cane in at least four different places on my block. And most people don't fool with it because they don't even know what it is.
Because the moment we go into Louisiana.
They don't even know what it is. Yeah. We got
the cousin's house. He got a homemade medical facility in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
He got all that gardening stuff. I'm trying to eat because I know he can cook. He got all that gardening stuff back there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go somewhere where I don't have to cook for once. So, yeah, I'm trying to eat.
Yes, indeed. if you have an EBT card, you can get half off Amazon Prime membership and can order from Whole Foods with your EBT card online.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know all of that. Yeah. And listen, let's talk about Whole Foods. Now, I'm not here to pick on Whole Foods, but it's still an industrial complex. It's still a part of the commercial, you know, pathway that a great deal of our food comes from. So I heard the Queen talk about, you know, reading labels, and even in produce, I still read the labels. Because if I open up some fruit and it ain't no seeds in it, I won't eat it. I won't eat it. If it don't have any seeds in it, it's a hybrid. It's a hybrid. It's artificial fruit. It's artificial produce. And they're doing it to keep it greener, make it last long in your refrigerator, because they know people aren't eating produce regularly the way they should. So they're tinkering even with your produce at the store. So I agree with the Queen. Get a garden, grow a garden, share a garden. You might plant tomatoes. Your girlfriend might plant spinach. Your boyfriend might plant beans and greens and create that economy within your community. I'm also grateful to live in the South, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, the Carolinas, Georgia, Florida. We still have the watermelon man. We still have the cantaloupe man. We still have the woman selling greens at the side of the road from her land. We still got the old guy selling pecans at the side of the road from his own trees and his own land. So, yes, if we just do a little work, okay, so maybe you're not into reading labels. Read some books, study your community, find out who's got a green thumb, find out who's vegan, find out who's already producing, you know, on their land, and let them teach you how to grow on your land. I would be remiss if I don't mention Miss Gloria. Miss Gloria is another one of my distant cousins. From Chicago, now here in New Orleans, about the same time as I have been, over 25 years. And she maintains our gardens within our neighborhood. So when I can't go to that end of the block or turn the corner to this end of the block and water the plants, Miss Gloria got that. Or she has a team of young people, and we're always looking for young people to help, to learn, to do a little bit of weeding, to help us do some repotting, help us maintain. Now, she wouldn't mind me saying, Miss Gloria over 70 years old. Okay, but you can't tell. Okay, she moved like a 25-year-old. She got a body like a 25-year-old. Her husband's still very much attracted to her, you know, and she's over 70 years old. But baby, she says the best time of her life is being out there in that garden. She jokes that if she had been a slave and they had to send her to the plantation, to the field, she would have stayed out there all day, because that's how she lived, you know, and she can take that heat. Oh my God, I don't know how she do it. She take that heat, that humidity, and she growing stuff. We got 7 types of mint just on my block. Mm-hmm. 7 types.
And those are the people that the children need to be sitting at their feet. Women like that know about growing food and cultivating things, that is exactly the thing that the youth need. I love it that when I go outside, I know at least 2 of my boys go out with me, and they ask, you know, Mom, can you help me pull some weeds? And they're helping me. They're moving stuff. They're carrying bags of dirt for me, moving stuff around, digging up roots and pulling out weeds. They're doing all of that, and they literally enjoy it. And it's time for them to learn. It's a time for connection, you know, all of that. So I appreciate that and give thanks for that, because that is something good. And it gets them into it, because now they're talking about when they get grown and they have land and how they're going to grow stuff, and they're talking about that now. So it's really, really a blessing to hear them have that type of mentality, and I give thanks for that, because they need it.
Yeah. Oh, I agree, Goddess. Whole Foods is good. It's better than the Walmart, for sure. But just read what you're getting. Find out where it was grown. If you find out how it was produced, particularly if it's something that, you know, you're shopping at Whole Foods regularly. Craig Burns made another great point. You know, you get a seed, you know, from your commercial apple, and it's going to revert back to its natural cooking apple content, because it hasn't been modified in any way. Our foods are being modified to appease sort of a Western palate. I understand, Chef Bougie, but we appreciate you. We'll get you to come on another day and talk about, you know, some of these alternative foods and fruits and vegetables that we might be interested in trying.
And I will say, when growing up, every piece of fruit I ate had a seed. I don't care if it was even grapes, if it was a red grape, green grape, they all had seeds. Even the bananas, everything. Now you got seedless this and seedless that, and it's weird to me because I even told my children, this is all new. Every piece of fruit when I was growing up had a seed in it. Mm-hmm. Every grape. There was no such thing as seedless grapes when I was growing up. They all had seeds.
That's right.
This is definitely.
And big. It wasn't a big deal, you know. A whole lot of kids. It wasn't a big deal. A whole lot of kids weren't choking on them because of the seed, you know. Even bananas. I don't think a lot of young people even realize bananas are supposed to have seeds, you know. Yes, so I agree. Yes, I agree. This has been another great show. I appreciate both of you. I certainly appreciate the queen. I would have loved for her to have been here longer. Isn't she a chemist? I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I think I saw in her bio that she might also be a chemist of some sort. But
I'll ask her. I don't know.
Yeah, but that would be a really powerful show. I have another young lady here in New Orleans. Some of you know Nadja Amistad, Mahogany, Alchemy, and Herbs. And she also likes to discuss, you know, herbology, a little chemistry, mixing and preparing certain herbs together, you know, to sort of create not necessarily magic, but changes in our body, in our health, in our overall sense of wellness. When I'm dealing with health issues of the feminine nature, I typically call on Nadja and Denise Augustine. Nadja is that young, knowledgeable, gifted one. And, of course, Denise Augustine is the elder, you know, who's going to keep it real from the Queen Mother's point of view. So I'm always grateful to have Iyami present with us, to have the queens and the goddesses, you know, share and be a part of the show. I'm grateful for another opportunity for us to present a powerful, edifying topic that people can actually use and apply and grow from. I would love to see, you know, let's have a picture party. I would love to see some gardens and some pictures of some plants, you know, in the coming weeks. Don't wait till the heat of the summer. Right now, May 15th, May 14th is the right time now. If you haven't already started, to start. I'm fertilizing what I have in my yard. I'm fertilizing what's in the community. And then another source I have is in nature. There are certain fruit trees and plants that I leave them where they are, near the river. There's a little ledge between the tree line and the river here in New Orleans, uptown. So there are a lot of plants that grow there in that soil. Which does have a lot of plant life, but I meant Audubon Park, the park that surrounds the zoo uptown, also has a lot of natural untouched habitat. I like to find my ginseng there. I just don't tell nobody where it is. I learned a few years back that my beloved Asian community, they will pull it up. They watch that ginseng. They know what it looks like. They know when it matures. And before I go back to get it, they pulled it up. So I typically don't tell anybody where my ginseng is or even my turmeric is, just kind of growing. Turmeric mimics another colorful flower. So most people overlook turmeric when they see it or assume that it's something else. So I love talking about gardening and plants and edibles and herbals. It's one of my favorite genres to discuss. And I look forward to us doing another show in the future where we can share more powerful, edifying, holistic information to ourselves, but also to the community. I'll give you both an opportunity to close.
God bless you and good night.
And with that, Otan, are you done?
Terribly.
Okay.
But I appreciate you all. It's always to quote you, my divine prince, it is truly a blessing always. Wow, just the positivity and the great energy that has come into my life since all of you have. I give thanks. I'm very appreciative. I always look forward to learning and connecting and love and blessings to everyone.
Yes, and with that, all this is indeed and truly a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil. And I look forward to meeting you here again at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, on Blog Talk Radio, StreamYard, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, everywhere we're being viewed and watched at this moment. Odabo, peace and blessings.
Odabo.
Good deal.
Yeah, that was great. Otan, be quick on that exit button. She has never stayed around, not once, after I end that show. She's gone.
Oh, my head. Just
but that's good. Yeah. Anthony, as you live too close, I would prefer the product from a picture. But all is a blessing. Okay. I'll talk to you later, cousin. Peace out.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for your attention, your participation, your listenership, your love, your support. Blog Talk Radio, I look forward to connecting with you here again, live and in archive at your leisure and convenience. All is a blessing. Congo Square, Congo Square, Congo Square.
Congo Square. The Omis Indians. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omis Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omis Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat, beat, beating, being of black heart drum. Heart beat. Heart beat. Heart be at this place. At this place be heart beat. Be we beating place in new world space. Beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk. Our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together. Circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end. Connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance. Be Banza music. And sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential us-ness that others want to dissipate with out of us.
Whoa!
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit. No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. A feel. Without shade. But dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat, be, beat, be, beat,
so
Congo Square, be, Congo Square. Be. Remember.